If you have no idea who I am or what this show is, let's just reset for people. This is a program normally on from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. But occasionally here in the fall with Northwestern football, everything slides around a little bit. You heard, well, it was Wendy in for David and doing an incredible job at that, as always. It was really nice listening to Wendy. I got to have my car volume at a normal level. Hochberg, I have to dial
turn it down a little.
I have to ride it, right? Because I have to turn it down, and then he forgets to turn someone's mic on, so I turn it on, and then that guy comes blaring in when Hochberg realizes his mistake. And so Wendy, just as a professional broadcaster, keeps it nice.
Oh my gosh. Does anybody have a better voice than her on the radio? She is so sorry, John.
No.
She's really incredible and impressive.
Yeah. She's just an awesome person. So is David too.
Of course.
And as Hochberg knows, or at least he knows in his own head, that's why I named my kid David, was for Hochberg, who did my mortgage. And I will say,
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. And I will say that he loves to come and pretend that he's not a good broadcaster and he's not professional. He's excellent. David is very
engaging. He's super
engaging.
Fun to listen to.
It's
you
just,
never
you
know
gotta
what
ride
he's
the bomb.
Say.
No, you don't.
That's why it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Where was I going with that? Oh, this program is normally a couple hours earlier. You're going to hear it a couple times from 6 to 8 p.m. during Northwestern season. I'm not a lawyer, but our guests usually almost are all lawyers, and we tackle all sorts of law. When you go over all the shows, we heard Millie Palmer's name just there last week. She came on to talk about estate planning. Mike Leonard, who bailed on us on today because he forgot it was his anniversary. No, he didn't.
Oh, man.
He knew it was his anniversary.
Of course he did.
And he just remembered to tell us that he wasn't
going to be here. That's right. What happened.
He's a federal defense attorney, and he weighs in on all sorts of stuff.
Now divorced federal defense attorney.
For sure. No. He did not forget. He knew. He just was
He's like, I didn't.
But we run the gamut on things. Today it's Patrick Dolan, who is an employment lawyer.
Yes, that's what I do.
What does an employment lawyer do?
Well, anything with regard to workplace issues. If you got questions about harassment, discrimination, retaliation, non-compete, maybe you are paid unfairly or you think you're owed a commission or a bonus. Maybe you're the subject of an investigation. Or you've complained and you're, you know, part of information gathering to ferret out someone who's been accused of harassing you. So It could be a whole bunch of different things.
312-981-7200. If you've got any of those issues or something that you don't even know if it's illegal or not, but you're wondering, is this ethical? Is this right? Or does it raise to the level of maybe using Patrick to write a letter or something to help you move something through? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Tell you what, let's take our first break,
sure.
Patrick. Then we'll get to calls. I see Christine waiting on the line. We'll get to your calls, too. 312-981-7200. Let's get legal. Powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. After Dark on WGN. Oh, Patrick, got something to say?
Well,
deep
you know what, John?
In.
I'm looking outside. There's so many people out there. I'm afraid there's nobody to give us a call. But
the phone lines are lighting up.
They are.
312-981-7200. Tell me about your first or your favorite job or any issues you have for Patrick Dolan.
Anything you want to chat about?
Let me host the show, Patrick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Could you just leave?
I think that's Patrick's dream, is that I have a medical emergency here on mic one.
No, I don't know
the
what
paramedics
buttons to
will
push.
Be carrying my warm body out of here, and Patrick will be tossing the brakes, doing the live reads, taking calls.
No, well, Iridian will just tell me what to do. She'll come in, press this one.
That's what she tells me. That's how I operate. I mean, they'll be taking my pulse and giving me CPR here, and Patrick
I'll
will be like
in your chair.
He'll
I'll
be
in your chair.
6:35, John, a little under the weather. Patrick Dolan here on WGN. Let's go to Christine, who I believe is going to tell us about her favorite job. Hi, Christine.
Hello, John. I love all of the shows that you do. You wear so many hats.
Oh, thank you, Christine.
I've been working for almost 60 years, and I'll be 75 in a couple of months, and my favorite job is the one I've had for the past 3 years as a semi-retired, part-time, happy lady, and
what is it?
It's just a little accounts payable receivable. I have two wonderful gals that I work for, and I've been in sales and customer service in the steel industry most of my life. But
wow.
This is no pressure, fun money. Just keep me out of, get me out of the house and sort of keep me out of trouble. Job, and it's just It's awesome after all these years to have something that really the no stress, no pressure.
I love that.
It is wonderful. And I have to add in the subject that you have tonight, I saw the docudrama yesterday on Lily Ledbetter and the equal pay for equal work, women versus men. Terrific movie. Thank God that she won that battle.
Yeah, right. And there's still a lot of work left to do in that area. But
amen.
Christine, first of all, I would love to watch a show one day of what trouble you would get in if you didn't have this job. I want to know.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, well, that's why I want to watch that show. And I love that. I mean, you worked for 60 years, and yeah, I think a lot of people would just, you know, they leave work, they're done, and that's great. They want to retire. I think I'm vibing with where you are, Christine. I don't know if I'll ever want to, like, step away completely. Right. I love the idea of working and us hosts and radio stay forever as long as we can.
Really, and you meet new people, and you know, they make you happy. You make them happy, and that's what it's all about, you know? So life is good.
I love it, Christine. Hey, thanks for listening and the kind words, okay?
Thank you, sir, and enjoy WGN, and you're the best. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I love the fact that she started with the fact that she enjoyed working with her colleagues. She didn't say anything about anything else.
She didn't say anything about pay?
No. She just said, I love being with my two colleagues, and that's a really important thing.
Oh, 100%. And also the idea that you're semi-retired.
Right.
She's on her own.
Do whatever she wants.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's huge. Good for her.
That's a good
Isn't
one.
That the goal?
That is. Okay, now let's get to people that have issues at work, like everyone does.
All right.
So Christine started off as a high note, and you can call in with your first or your favorite job, 312-981-7200. And in the meantime, we'll get to other folks that are having issues with theirs. And Phil, you're on WGN. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, gentlemen. John Patrick. Love the show After Dark. Normally, I'm cutting my grass, and I'm trying to listen to you and everyone on the crew. With the mower going, so appreciate it.
A little quieter now.
Love the show, love WGN, try to listen to it all day.
Oh, we appreciate that. So, don't just try, Phil. We need those ratings, so keep it on even when you're sleeping, okay?
No, I do. I honestly do. It helps me feel like, it sounds so bad, it helps me fall asleep.
No, I know what you mean. We're your friends that chat with you, and then you go to bed, okay.
Or ESPN, whatever.
No, keep it right here. Okay, anyways, what's your issue?
Got it. All right, focus. Yeah, all right. So, Patrick, my question is, I filed like three HR complaints for quality of life. I was an exempt employee. I was doing 60, 70 hours a week. I was working on vacation time voluntarily because that's the only way I could keep up with the work, even though the job, you know, description and application said 40 hours. Eventually, they put me on administrative leave because, you know, I just kind of escalated things. And then they kept kicking the can down the road and put me on paid admin leave. And then they were trying to put me on, like, kind of a mini medical leave with a third-party vendor that supports the company because it's a separate insurance company. And then eventually, long story short, then they just gave me a separation and release agreement. They laid me off with X amount of severance. And it's like, why? That's kind of unfair. When it's and management was like, well, other people like handle the same thing, this and this. This kind of is what it is. And I'm like, no, this should be a better quality of life. And so I don't know if there's what you recommend. I am rehireable. I was able to collect unemployment, and I don't know if I can go after them. You know, with yourself.
Because how long ago was this, Phil? Yeah. Phil, when was this?
So the separation of and release of agreement was like March. They gave
of this
me like
year.
30 days to sign it. I was on admin leave for about like 4 months, 3 months. They just kept kicking the can down the road with the internal HR life services, you know, department.
But this has all happened within the last year, you're saying, Phil?
Yeah, it started last year, and then it just basically ended in April.
What do you think, Patrick? Just generally broad strokes here. Do you have more follow-ups?
Well,
I assume
he didn't sign a separation release agreement, and so he still has potential claims. Well, hold on.
Did you sign it, Phil?
No, I did sign it because they gave me X amount of severance.
Yeah.
If I didn't sign it, then I wouldn't get the severance.
Right. No, I shouldn't have assumed. So you released your claims. That's going to be a problem. It's not much I can do for you if you've taken their money and released claims. So you can't sue them. Let's go back and talk about the facts, though. I don't understand why they put you on admin leave. Was it because you were complaining about the fact that you were working too much?
I do believe so. Like, I was getting frustrated, and it was just, like, escalating, and it was just, like, this is terrible. Like, people shouldn't work like this, et cetera, et cetera. So I was very vocal and verbal about it.
Were other people working the same hours that you were working?
You could talk to, like, across the country, everybody, you know, different time zones, yes. It was like, yep, it is what it is. I do this on vacation, or I log in for an hour just to keep their email boxes clean and what have you, to catch up. And then when you come back from vacation, you have like 500 some emails to try to burn through.
So you were the guy kind of, I don't want to say blowing the whistle, but you were the one making the noise.
I was the martyr.
You were the martyr, yeah.
I was the martyr.
Laid on the sword.
Is that okay for a company, if you complain about the number of hours you work, for them to say, fine, we'll put you on admin leave, or no?
Well, I first of all, I think it's very strange that they put them on admin leave because of that. The question is that illegal retaliation for them to do that? Complaining about your hours worked is potentially the basis for a retaliation claim. The problem is if everybody else is working that much in the same or similar position, then that's not discrimination. There's no harassment there. So just complaining about your hours is not protectable per se, which it needs to be in order for you to have a retaliation claim. So I'm thinking, why'd they put him on admin leave? It was just because he complained that he's working too much as a salaried exempt employee. Listen, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours.
Yeah,
if you're not being treated worse than anybody else, I think,
and that's why you asked if everyone else was doing it, because if he was singled out for 70 hours,
then he's in a protected category and he is complaining about something where he has a legal right to complain. So I don't think so. And I hear this a lot, John, just to segue a little bit. People call me and say all the time, why can they make me work 60 hours a week?
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm salary exempt, but that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not what I expected to do. It's not what they told me I was going to do. But it's not necessarily illegal if others in the same job category working the same amount of time.
And I get signing the release. You want that severance
pay.
That's
you
the feel
problem.
Like you're in a pinch. I don't have time to get 30 days. What am I going to go find a lawyer, go do this, go do that? So I get where you're coming from, Phil. And you got unemployment, which is good.
That is good.
I wonder for Phil. Phil, do you have any worries about, you mentioned you're rehirable. I have no doubt. Do you have fear that if you put that company on your references that other people, they might say something, or are you not worried about that, Phil?
I don't think that all they can say is that, yeah, he worked X, you know, amount of years at XYZ company. That they can't go in detail. They can just do verification of employment, is my understanding.
Well, I mean,
it's still unfair that they did this to me.
Right.
And then asked for it. And I was asking to come back, but they're like, no, just like this.
Yeah,
they kept kicking the can down the road. So
I'm up against.
Not like I twisted my ankle on at work, and it wasn't like harassment or anything weird,
right?
And that's where it was like it wasn't the biggest severance in the world. It was only 2 weeks worth of pay.
Ooh.
So it was like either take this money.
How long did you work there, Phil?
2 years and change. So they give you. Like two weeks worth for every year served.
Phil, I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to go to the news, as you know. But you can always call Patrick to follow up if you'd want. 312-332-7800. It sounds like you might not have a case after signing that, but he can chat you through anything if you have any other follow-up questions, Phil. And thanks for listening, and thanks for the kind words about WGN. We love it.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, for sure. Lori's on the line. Michael's on the line. Rocky's on the line. You can be on the line next. 312-981-7200. Let's get legal, which we're going to get to after the news in just a few moments. Patrick, any other thoughts about what a company can tell you or not tell you, tell someone about a prospective employer?
Oh, yeah, most because of their own policies, they usually say nothing, and they're afraid of being sued for defamation. But theoretically, John, they can say whatever they want in response to, you know, from a prospective employer about you know, that employee, but they just don't.
Yeah, they don't usually. Because that could always cause some issues as well. 312-332-7800 is how we reach you, right, Patrick?
That's right.
All right, now let's get to that news with Ron Brown and then Lori, Michael, and Rocky after this on WGN. This is Let's Get Legal After Dark. Powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. What was that face you just made,
Well,
Meridian?
It's probably because of what you talk, how you talk.
Well, it's like after dark, like we're sultry and things get wild on Let's Get Legal After Dark.
Oh, no.
It's actually the exact same show as it is from 1 to 3, but I'm just saying after dark because the sunset tonight's 7:26. And on that note, David's wake up is usually 6 a.m. every morning.
Okay.
And today was like the first morning I went, oh, it's still like really dark out now.
Wait, let's... Just make sure everybody knows that's
not
your
Hochberg.
Son. That's
yes,
your son.
Not Hochberg.
Right, okay.
I don't know when Hochberg wakes up. Maybe 6, but my son David wakes up at 6 or 5:55. You can almost set a watch to it. And it used to be when it was bright sunshine.
So do you bounce out of bed at that time?
Bounce is not the word I would use. I would say a roll, a stuttered walk down the hallway bracing with the wall against me. And then I rummage through his crib to
and
find his
is.
Pacifier.
Okay.
And then I put it back in him, and he's usually got this big smile on, and I'm like, I play with him for a second, and then I'm like, I'm going to sit in this chair for a moment. You gather your thoughts, David.
And you'll gather?
I'm going to gather my thoughts, and then we're going to get the bottle in 8 minutes. Because
that's a great way to start the day.
I am not functional. And he is so chill in his crib. He'd probably be in there an hour before he'd be like, excuse me, sir. Would you feed me, please?
It's kind of like my wife with coffee.
Mm.
I have to, you know, she has to have her coffee.
In bed?
Well, sometimes she does, sure. Mm. Well, really, on the weekends. A lot of people need that coffee to get going.
For sure. The three callers on hold are screaming at us, so would you just get on with this program?
Okay.
Sorry, let's go to Michael, and then we'll do Lori and Rocky. Michael, you're on WGN. Sorry for the delay in us babbling on, okay?
Hello.
Hello, what's your issue?
I have a question. At work, they just came out with a thing they want us to sign. Basically, it's a copy of the employee handbook thing or whatever. And the other one's an arbitration form basically saying we can't sue them or hire a lawyer or whatever.
Hmm.
Since I work in, what's it called? At-will work?
At-will state, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do I pretty much have to sign it?
So you're in Indiana, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So every state has their own laws with regard to arbitration agreements, and then there's a federal law, John. So
federally?
Right. So in Indiana, arbitration agreements, like in most states, are enforceable, and under the Federal Arbitration Act, they're generally enforceable as well. So a company can force you to sign an arbitration agreement as a condition of your job. So they say you don't sign it, you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do that. You can still pursue claims against them through arbitration. It's not like you can't pursue claims. It's just the venue has changed. You can't file a lawsuit. But there's an exception that's actually something that President Biden did. You can't force employees to arbitrate sexual harassment or sexual assault claims.
Okay.
That's an exception. There are a couple other exceptions, but that's really the big one.
So you could still sue for those claims.
Oh, yeah, you can still.
In civil court.
Yes, you can.
But in everything else, if you're an arbitrator, you're going through an arbitrator. But can you get representation through your arbitration?
Oh, sure, of course. Well, I mean, you can still hire a lawyer, file the arbitration claim, and then the lawyer can represent you in that arbitration proceeding. By the way, it's still, you know, the claim is still going to go through a process. You can still be awarded damages. You can still be awarded attorney's fees, depending on the claim. It's just a different forum.
Venue
that you're bringing the claim in.
Michael, that answer your question?
And what if it says in that agreement that I'm signing that each party is responsible for their own attorney's
fees?
Okay.
That's perfectly acceptable. A company can say that each side has to pay for their own lawyer.
Oh, they can set the rules of the arbitration court, essentially?
Yeah, but if you have a claim that you're pursuing that allows for recovery of attorney's fees and you're successful in the arbitration claim, then you get your fees paid by the company.
But it's a specific...
But you have to go through that process.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be putting money up in the upfront.
Yes.
Okay.
So long story short, I pretty much have to sign it unless I don't want the job anymore.
That is correct. That's long story short.
Sure. And then an at-will state, that pretty much means they can end my employment and I can end it at any time I want for pretty much no reason.
That's a really good point. People get confused about at-will. Michael, you're exactly correct. That means they can end it for at any point, any reason. You can end it at any point in any reason. That's exactly what at-will means.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted to clear it.
No, you're right.
No, you're absolutely right to do so. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks.
But, like, there's still federal protections of harassment and other things that they can't fire you for, retaliation, stuff like that. Or does an at-will state override all that?
Oh, no. An at-will just means you don't have a job for a specific amount of time. That's all it means. I think people get confused about, does it mean...
They still have to follow laws of state.
No. It literally means you don't have a job for a specific amount of time. That's all at-will means.
I think I've only ever had at-will jobs.
Most people have. It used to be...
Oh, no, TV, I had a contract. Okay.
Yeah, you know what, John? And sometimes I'll see a contract that says the term is 2 years or 3 years.
I see.
But you can terminate it during the course of the contract for certain reasons,
yeah, okay.
But it will show a term.
So a lot of people have been at-will employees their entire
Forever.
Life.
Almost okay. Everybody's an at-will employee.
Okay. Let's go to Lori before we get to Rocky, who's got his favorite job. Favorite job or first job? 312-981-7200. Tell us about it, why you loved it. Let's go to Lori. Lori, you've got a question, though, for Mr. Dolan, yes?
I do have a question.
Okay.
And we would never be mad at you guys for just kind of prattling on about whatever
that's so
happening in your life.
You'd be surprised, Lori, what's on the text line.
That's part of being a radio personality, is that we get to know who you are.
Save Lori's number. Anytime someone complains, we're calling you, you're going to come to our defense, okay?
Anyway, a friend of mine talked to me yesterday and said, I'm going to be off for a week because my company is going to furlough everybody and close down the office for a week.
And not pay her, right?
No.
And not pay anybody. And she is a salaried employee.
Yeah. And you're wondering, is that, what's the deal? Is that allowed?
I don't know that that's legal, that they can just not pay a salaried employee. They just shut down the office and we're not going to pay anybody for a week.
Patrick?
Yeah. Generally speaking, it is. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. But they can furlough groups of folks, salaried, hourly.
It doesn't even have to be the whole office. They can say this group of people
is furloughed, right?
But it can't be individuals. Is that the rule?
No. You can't. I mean, you can. That would be a whole different scenario. But we're talking about furloughing a group of people. Generally speaking, it's fine not to pay them during the furloughed time.
It's fine. It's legal. It's not fine.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not fair.
It's not fine at all.
But it's usually when a company's go ahead, Lori.
It's only a week. They can't collect unemployment either because you can't collect unemployment the first week.
You're right. That's right.
And it's usually done because a company's in some financial issues, right?
Big trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. Lori, we get this call, and it's a great call to get. It's always good to ask. I say once a year we get someone calling, and we might see more if companies continue to see some rocky waters ahead, although generally speaking, the jobs number is still good and things are fine. Not trying to paint doom and gloom about the upcoming economy, but I just know a lot of people are proceeding with trepidation as businesses. So, Lori, that's too bad for your friend. I always say if you get furloughed a couple times, freshen up your resume, start looking. Doesn't mean you have to quit or doesn't mean the job is going to be gone. It just, I'm always like, if a company's starting to furlough people, just, keep your head on a swivel.
This company's doing it like once a year just to save money.
Okay.
All right. I'd rather I'd actually rather take the week off unpaid. I was going to say, just lower my salary by a week. I'm like, and make me work off. I'm like, no, never mind. We'll keep the salary the same
rate. It sounds kind of awful. If it's only 1 week a year, it could be a lot worse.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Lori, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. 312-981-7200. Rocky, what's your favorite job?
My favorite job, I worked at Continental Bank back in the day.
What'd you love about it?
1979. What's that?
What'd you love about it? What'd you love about the bank?
A lot of camaraderie between employees and everything. Everyone got along.
How long did go ahead.
I'm sorry, I worked from 79 to 94.
Oh, that's nice. And like our previous caller, it's about the camaraderie of the workplace. Was it just a good group of people? You all liked each other.
Yeah, I mean, we all worked together like for so many years, and that's very unusual nowadays.
Oh, you better believe
it. It is, for sure.
Yeah, I think that if you were to like rank things that matter most, like why people love their job, of course, like how much they get paid is on that list. But when you like look back in remembrance of like what job did I enjoy being at, it's really colleague driven.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely true.
It is. Yeah. Totally. And then when my first day in the job, they gave me a free lunch.
Hey, there you go. Was that the last free lunch you got there?
Free lunch nowadays.
Yeah, no, there's no such thing. You're right.
Not even the first day.
Rocky, thanks for calling. We appreciate it, okay?
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. 312-981-7200. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, After Dark. Patrick Dolan's an employment lawyer, if you're just joining us. His phone number, if you need to follow up and don't want to come on the air, 312-332-7800. But I say the nay. Get on the phone line.
Absolutely.
Call us, 312-981-7200. We'll continue our conversations about all things employment law. We've got some fun employee stories to talk through, and we want to hear about your first or your favorite job. Whichever prompt inspires you to tell us a story about why you liked that job. Or if it's your first job, it could be why you hated it. Right. I mean, that's also true. I hated being an umpire the first summer. But my parents said, you signed up for this.
Yeah.
I must have been 12 years old, maybe 11, 12.
Wait, why
12?
Did you hate it?
Well, so you get yelled at by adults.
Oh, and yeah, and at that age.
I love baseball. When you're 12, it's just a little intimidating. And
wait, parents shouldn't yell at a 12-year-old umpire.
We're well past that, Patrick.
Sorry.
And this was in the 90s when it was still a little tame.
Wow.
And then I think we reached a peak. I think parents are actually a little better now.
Wait, did one of your parents come to the game and tell these parents to back off?
No, my parents dropped me off. Or no, I probably rode my bike in Downers Grove to Memorial Park, McCollum, or Dorhofer. And if you live there, you know those are the three parks you play baseball at. Or the O'Neill Middle School parking lot or whatever. Anyways, and it would be, I got $6 a game.
Okay.
I remember that, my very first one. That's and they'd line good. You up for a couple. And it was really intimidating. But I do think that job, which I stuck through and ended up loving, I ended up embracing it and really enjoying it. I love baseball to begin with. I like being the center of attention.
Shocking.
Like an umpire is able to do. I like using my voice in authoritative ways.
In the Hawks game with a mic in your hand, that kind of thing.
But I think it really set me up to deal with either criticism or intimidation or to have a backbone and be confident in what you do.
What did you do in response to that? Ignore them? You didn't engage, did you? You're a kid.
I probably cried the first couple games.
That's just awful.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know what it is? It's like you just don't want to do a bad job. And I don't think it was like parents that were screaming at me consistently. I think it was more just, they'd be like, oh, come on, Blue. Come on up. That wasn't a strike.
Uh-oh.
And then where's
that? That was me.
It is After Dark. We still have to hit our commercials, as Iridian just reminded me. Let's do that. We'll get to Gene's call and yours too, 312-981-7200 on WGN. Okay, Patrick Dolan, one quick thing about the furloughs. I think you made this clear, but just to make sure, Lori called in. Her friend got furloughed. She's not going to work for a week. Someone pointed out better to be furloughed for a week than have people let go permanently. You're right. But yes, it's legal to furlough employees, but just to clarify it.
Well, yeah, it's legal if they don't do any work. It's legal if they don't do any work to not pay them.
Right.
So if you're hourly and you perform any work, you got to be paid, even an hour. If you're salaried and you perform any work, you have to be paid for the whole week. That's something that's different from salaried employees, well, many things, to hourly employees.
What if your boss emails you? And you email them back?
Good question, John.
It's a matter of how much you want to peeve off your company, I imagine. Like, pay me for the week.
Well,
you might be the
honestly,
first one gone.
If you're doing any work as a salaried, I think you should be paid the whole week. But listen, companies are super careful. If they don't have the money, you're going to be furloughed. But if you do any work, hourly or exempt, you got to be paid.
Let's go to Gene, who has a favorite job. Gene, we got a minute before the news. What do you got for me?
Oh, that's not long enough. I got a job in Indianapolis working for the publishing house that published The Joy of Cooking in Ayn Rand.
Oh.
And they formed a new division, and it was the college division. And I went to a seminar that my honorary sorority offered while I was there. And I walked in, and the speaker was sitting in the front row, and they introduced me. And he said, you're exactly what I've been looking for, because I had graduated with a degree in journalism at the UW. And he had brains. He needed somebody who had the crafts to put it off, to put a textbook together.
That's amazing.
And a general book.
And you loved it? You have a textbook that you put together?
Yeah. I didn't write it, but I was responsible for seeing it all the way through binding in to the, you know, to the classrooms. And we published a bunch of books, and what the exciting part was, he was the brother, I think I spoke, the boss of the head of the college division. His brother was the assistant to JFK until he was killed.
Wow.
And his brother went on to be the assistant for Robert JFK, for RFK,
right.
and then Ted. And
wow.
We lived with calls from the White House, the Senate. I had prefaces. We published a book called William Buckley called Have You Ever Seen a Dream Walking? It was the Bob's Merrill Publishing House.
Wow.
And I don't think it exists anymore, but we would have worked for free. It was the most amazing allotment of personalities I've ever seen. And finally I said, you know, I think Bill Hackett, walked into a mental institution and said, I can't make up my mind, I'll take one of each. Because everybody had their pluses and their quirks.
Oh,
you know,
that's fun.
They brought so much talent. And I worked for short periods because we my husband was transferred to a couple of trade journals.
Gene, it's been
exciting.
You're awesome. I love that. I hate that I have to go to the break in the news. You're right. But let's have you on another show sometime. Call back, okay?
Okay, yeah, I would love to have the attorneys that you have, and I try to not ever miss.
Oh, thank
you,
Gene.
We need legislation about timeshares.
Okay, we'll add that to the list. That's actually a good idea. Gene, I really got to go, but timeshares, that is something we should cover sometime. More with Patrick Dolan. And thank you, Gene, by the way. That was a great story. We got to take a break. We got news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and another hour on WGN. At 7:12 on WGN. Huh, this is a weird time for us. Yeah, we're on from 6 to 8 tonight. Happens a couple times during the Northwestern football schedule. We get bumped back a little bit, and it's a pleasure to join you. We call these shows Let's Get Legal After Dark. The only thing that's different is we start to get a little slap happy, Patrick, because we're old and 7 o'clock is starting to get kind of late.
Into the bedtime pretty soon.
Yeah. And I told you off the air, I'm going to see Jaws tonight. They're replaying it at the theater near me, the old theater where I live, which is really cool. The showtime is at 9:40 in the evening, obviously.
You're not going to make it till the shark.
Look, I don't think I'm going to make it till we're going to need a bigger boat.
No way.
No,
I don't think so.
That's
way too late for you.
No, I don't.
You're going to bring like a blanket and something to...
I don't know. Probably not, no.
Okay.
I mean, I'll bring a beer blanket. Just to have a cocktail.
You are not going to make it. Is that a long... I mean,
it's a long movie. It's like a 2.5-hour movie.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You have no chance, John.
10:40, 11:40. It'll be after midnight. That's trouble.
That is trouble.
Although Enrique has agreed to take the first shift for David.
Okay.
The agreement, right? That's like the 6 a.m. Wake up and do the first bottle. I do that.
Okay.
He said he would do it, although I can feel like a nudge already happening tomorrow morning. Like, are you sure
it's payback for your late night?
Yeah, and actually, I should probably just do it.
Out whooping it up.
But the 906 followed up when we asked about it. We were asking first job, favorite job. 906 said that they were a truck stop. They worked at in Sawyer, Michigan. They saw all these celebrities moving on through. We asked what you did. He said he was a diesel jockey, which sounds like John Landecker's first job, like at some station or something. But no, he said it was they would like pump the buses, like pump the gas for the buses.
Oh, for the buses, okay.
And also AC/DC tour buses.
Wow.
And he says, to turn back time.
That's kind of cool.
That's what I'm saying. Like some of these first jobs that you have, they are not glamorous. They are often greasy. They are strange hours. You're getting yelled at, something. But they are kind of like what define, I don't know who define who you become, but they set the pace of maybe who you are. And I often look back at some of them. Like in high school, one summer, I worked for as a librarian assistant, like literally just moving books, classrooms to classroom to classroom to classroom. Paid $5.25 an hour.
Wow, that's pretty good.
No, that was the minimum wage in Illinois at the time. But I worked with my friends. We had such a fun summer after junior high school. So,
you know, first jobs can be all about discipline. I delivered the paper. And so in high school, so John, imagine you're in high school getting up at 4:30
mm-hmm.
to deliver the paper. And on Sunday, that was a big paper. after Saturday night.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a tough job sometimes.
You did that?
I did. Oh, yeah. Throughout high school.
And you were a lifeguard, too.
Yes, I was a lifeguard in the summer.
Yeah. There is something about, like, and I don't know, and I'm really just generalizing now. Do teenagers work as much as they used to?
My kids did.
Okay.
Yeah, my kids did for sure.
You don't have to gloat, Patrick.
I'm not gloating. It was just an observation.
Maybe they all do summer jobs and everything. I've heard people complaining that it's harder to get teens to take jobs, and maybe it's because their studies are more rigorous than they were with us. Extracurricular activities now.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot.
Travel sports.
It's a lot.
Is insane.
It is.
So I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a work ethic thing, but basically saying.
Sometimes it is.
David's got 12 more years till he has to work, is all I'm saying. My David, not Hochberg.
Okay, right. Yeah, so my son worked at a pizza place, and a lot of times on Friday nights when his buddies were out, he was working at the pizza place. I think that's pretty impressive.
I think that is impressive. And also, I think those people then end up with less FOMO in life because they've dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this tonight
because
I have this responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why I'm always thankful that my parents made me go back and umpire every game that I had signed up for that season. They said, you can quit and not do it next year if you want, but you told them you were doing these games, and you're going to show up and you're going to do them. Now, did I call a lot of strikes when they were balls to move the game along faster? Yes,
absolutely.
But that I'm an umpire. I'm in charge.
I think that still happens now.
Oh, after a kid, I would always have a rule. 16 straight balls.
That's
I would
bad.
Tell the I would just tell the batter, I'm like, this is a strike. I don't care if he throws it behind you. It's a strike. So swing.
Swing, right. Move
swing.
Out of the batter's box and give it a shot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I would be, and I'd be like, swing at the next... three pitches, son, because they're all strikes.
Wait, he's like your age, though, wasn't he? You're 12.
He's probably older.
Kid, right?
Well, my first, and this is what happens after dark, is that we got a little time to kill. No, it's just we have more time. So I was, I umpired a machine pitch was what first, where the machine did it.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, it would be funny because I'd be calling like balls and strikes, and the parents would argue. I'm like, well, recalibrate the machine.
It's
not my fault.
Right.
The machine is off. It's just a coach dropping a ball in a thing.
Did you umpire T-ball?
My first game I did the bases or something like that. I don't exactly remember now. But I did it for a long time, and it was a great job. 847 about falling asleep at the movies. Once we fell asleep at the drive-in movie, we woke up in an empty lot. That's really good. 815 says, I'm probably late to this. No, you are not.
No.
We got 45 more minutes, baby.
You are not late.
I'm probably too late, but my first job was as a lifeguard at Medina Country Club.
Ooh, wow.
I'm 71 now. It's been downhill ever since. Best job I ever had.
Pool jobs were good. That's what I had. Not like a lake or anything. I was like a pool lifeguard.
Well, it's also like you look back in fond memory of being that age.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Doesn't mean the job was necessarily better, although it might have been. The pay was crap, I'm sure.
It was crap.
But you remember those times, right? And that's just something that's
super fun. I was a swim team coach in the evening, so I had lifeguard all day and then coach at night outside. It's a great summer job.
I once got, I shouldn't call it a scheme, and I won't say the company's name.
Okay.
Just like we tell just like I have a written and have to tell all of our listeners, don't say your company's
just
name.
Just write it on a piece of paper and show me.
But in college, I got recruited to be a painter because the business classes that my buddy took had some painting crew aspect where he was, as his summer project, my buddy, was going to be the leader of a crew of painters. And he recruited us as his friends, as painters. And which was, why would I thought, oh, this will be so much fun. My good buddy Joe was going to be a painter. We're going to be on our crew. Problem is, we've never painted anything in our lives. And the first, I thought they'd like train us on a garage or something. Like someone's like cruddy side detached garage.
What were you painting?
Houses. Patrick,
really? That's tough.
They like showed me how to use the sprayer for 4 minutes on this wealthy home. I'll never forget it. It's in the neighborhood that has in Downers. I hope this isn't you, and I'm sorry. Actually, I kind of want to say I'm sorry for what's about to happen ultimately, but it's a wealthy neighborhood in Downers that has its own airport in the middle of it.
Okay.
Is
that where you live now?
No. And some of these houses have hangars that back up.
Sure.
People will know. They'll text in.
Yeah, they will.
So we were training on this house, and I'm like, okay, cool. Now take us to the garage we're going to paint. They're like, no, this is the house. And I'm like, this person in this that has has a plane hanger has hired a bunch of us
to paint
their house. And the guy, God bless him. Man. I'm sure I'd be this guy now. Was like, hey, guys, this is a brand new roof. No paint on the shingles.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
And I'm like on the roof of this house. I'm 19 years old. I've never painted a thing in my life, painting the eaves of a house as tied up with a rope trying to get underneath them.
Right.
Well, anyways, I brought the bucket of primer up to the roof to work on it. And I kicked the bucket of the primer and the entire primer bucket emptied on top of that roof and into the gutters and down the gutters. That was day one and the only day.
Were you fired?
Of my Patriots. No, I quit, but I'm sure I was about to be fired. But that guy, he probably sued the company and rightfully so. We were in no business to be doing the job we were doing. And I just remember, that day there was, a tornado that came nearby, so we were just covered. My GMC Jimmy, my red car that I had that had been passed down from my brothers and before that, the 21-year-old car, I got so much paint on the interior of this thing. This one day of painting has scarred me for
forever.
Life. You're, not as much as those shingles.
That's a very vivid memory. Are we still on the air
now? We are.
I just was confused.
If that was your roof... First of all, I'm not paying you for any damages. I think we've passed statute of limitations. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
I hope you won your lawsuit that you entirely deserved to win. But don't hire college kids to paint your million-dollar house.
Yeah.
And tell them don't get a single drop of paint on the shingles. I remember it was halfway through the day. He's like, what's that? I see a little drop up there. Of course it was a drop of primer. He didn't know what was coming next. And I was like, that's bird droppings. He's like, oh, okay. I mean, that should have been his first clue.
I know. I think it's his fault for hiring you guys.
Yeah.
And really serious.
I did not intentionally drop this bucket
up. Yeah, but the expectations were too high.
Anyways, that was one of my first jobs that was not so great.
No.
That's a good memory.
It wasn't great.
Where are we? What is this show? 312-981-7200. Patrick Dolan's an employment lawyer, and he can take your calls or questions about...
And John's a painter.
And I am a pro painter. I was for that summer day. My family, my parents make fun of me so much for that.
Oh, just for that?
Oh, they were like, you came home with this great plan to be a painter. Me and your father looked at each other like, this guy's going to paint? The baseball umpire? The speech team guy? my other brothers, my younger brother, who is 5 years younger than me, ran his own landscaping company at the age of 13 and 14 years old. He bought a tractor and would tractor and do that is who my younger brother Drew is, right? He would be a painter because he has the manual skills to do some of this stuff.
I had a lawnmower and had a lawn mowing business for the summer.
Look, you had a lot of jobs. Point is, they looked at each other like, yeah, we'll see. I came home the first day and I'm like, that is the last day of painting.
Then is this a brother who became a fireman?
Both of my brothers.
Both, okay, yeah.
All right, 312-981-7200. I hope you all have something to add to this conversation. Lively phone lines in the 6 o'clock. You've gone dark in the 7 o'clock as the sun sets.
There's a lot of employment stuff we could talk about.
There is, and we'll get to some of that next on WGN. The fact that we have a Lindholm Roofing commercial talking about shingle damage.
It's 20, perfect.
2 minutes after I
you
tell
knew
the story.
That, though.
First of all, Lindholm Roofing will fix that guy. Well, it's been 20-some years, but... Lindholm Roofing will do everything. The reason I know this, Patrick, is after the storms last Monday, two Mondays ago, we had a couple days of just intense rainfall, I went into my little sunroom, which you've been in, the little one off the kitchen, just like a three-season room, leaking water through the door frame and the window. Well, I freaked out for a bit. I went up on the roof, on the ladder, and there was the roof that was up there looked terrible and had a gaping... Not a hole in it, but some of the siding or whatever is on top of it. Decking? I don't know. Had come off. So I call Lindholm Roofing. Of course I do.
Yeah.
Mike comes out immediately. The next day, I think I called him at night. They looked at it all. They did an estimate. He knew exactly what the problem was. He said, here's X, Y, Z. Here's what we're going to do. Here's when. And then they came. It was about 3 or 4 days later, something along those lines. These guys, when the crew shows up. So let me do two scales.
Sure, go ahead.
The company I painted for one day. When we showed up, and we've all had the look in the eyes of people that show up at your house and you can tell they don't know what they're doing and they're just figuring it out on the fly.
Yes.
Lindholm Roofing is the exact opposite of that. It was the most efficiently run crew ever. They went right up to the roof. First of all, Marco, the guy who ran the crew, came up right to the door. He was so nice. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what could happen. Here's blah, blah, blah. So he gets on the ladder. They get up there. This crew is so efficient. They take the old roof off. They look underneath the hood. They realize they're going to have to replace a little of the wood. It had gotten exactly where the leak was soggy. Boom. These guys are bringing wood from the truck back to the roof. They're throwing us off. No one's like running to the store in the middle of the job because they don't have what they need. Yeah. They're throwing the tools up there. Boom, bang, boom, boom. It was like 4 hours. I mean, it's not a big roof. The sunroom is, yeah. But it was amazing. It was so efficiently done and friendly, and everyone was super nice. And then, boom, paid the bill, and it was great.
I think Iridian just said that the guys on the phone whose house you painted, I think she
needs Lindholm Roofing.
Yeah, yeah, he's on the phone right now.
Yes.
So, he'd like to talk to you on the air, John, yeah. If that's okay.
So, to the guy out in Downers Grove that has an airplane hangar that had their roof ruined by a college student.
By you.
And we got to hit the news here in a minute. This has been a real fruitful segment for the listener. But I will say that I looked up that painting company that I worked for.
Okay.
It is now, at least every website I show, completely out of business.
So does that mean you can say who it is?
I'm not going to, but okay. Because just in case they're trying to restart, and here I am. But the headline was, student painting franchise scheme collapses under the weight of alleged incompetence, dishonesty, and unworkability.
By John Hanson. Thanks to John.
It went till 2019.
Company.
Anyways, okay, 312-917-200. We've got another half hour left. We take you up to the Mincy and Rascals, which takes you to Steve and Johnny, who I'm excited about their show tonight. 312-981-7200. Text in about your first job or your favorite job. Any questions you have for Patrick Dolan about your job? Something squirrely in the office that's happening. You're not paid what you should. You work in commissions and you're not getting the money you should. Or you want to leave the gig and you want to know the best way to do it? 312-981-7200. Get on the line now, and you'll be able to chat with Patrick Dolan. You can call him, too, at 312-332-7800. More with that. As the sun has set, let's get legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. 736 on WGN. Let's get legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. The sun has set. So, Patrick Dolan, we are officially After dark. Well, it wasn't as...
No, that wasn't... I was...
Patrick, by the way...
looking out the window.
I was making the jokes earlier in the show that Patrick, I think, wants to take over as host of this program, and that if I dropped down here and was having a medical emergency during the show, Patrick would not even wait for the paramedics to get here before taking over. Iridian, he was just over here on this side of the mic asking me what all these buttons are down here,
curious.
What they do, how do I know when to come back from a commercial break?
I'm just curious what you're doing over there. No intention.
I feel like Caesar all of a sudden, and Brutus is just on the other side.
Not a lot of intention. I just want to know.
Patrick is an employment lawyer, 312-332-7800, apparently looking for a new I'm looking for another job. We have been asking people what your first or your favorite job was. And a little story behind that, had a lot of calls and texts earlier on, 312-981-7200, or anything strange happening in the workplace. It is Labor Day weekend,
yeah,
Patrick.
It is.
Broadly speaking, labor gains, and by that I mean like gains for employees, seem to be like state-level wins these days and have been for a while. The federal government has been kind of like, whether it's the minimum wage, which has been stuck since like 2006 at $7.25 federally, some other gains for employees seem to be really undertaken by states more so than the federal government. Agree or disagree?
Totally agree. I mean, the bar set by the federal government on a lot of these sort of wage and hour issues is below most states. I would say the vast majority of states have more generous wage and hour laws than the federal standards.
Why is that? I mean, is it just the complications of passing legislation and long-term legislation that when they stall out, the states just say, well, we're not going to wait for you. We're going to do it on our own.
I think so. I think Congress is less apt to be, frankly, more employee-friendly than a lot of state legislatures, where they get a lot of pressure to help out the folks who live in their state in terms of wages and hours. So I think the more localized the legislator, the bigger impact it has on employees' wage and hours.
And we've even now started seeing it on city levels, like here in Chicago.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, Chicago, like a lot of big cities, has led their own state in terms of hourly wage. It's typically larger than the state that the big city is in. Chicago's no exception.
Yeah, I just find it interesting because the federal government has done big things for employment. ADA, I mean, think of the American for Disabilities Act, this gigantic reform of what is acceptable in the workplace or not was undertaken not all that long ago by the first Bush administration, and then revised by George W. Bush.
Yeah, it was.
You talk about civil rights in the workplace, too, or big
President
federal
Johnson.
Legislations mm-hmm. in the 60s as well.
Right.
You talk about Social Security, another big legislation. It seems to be that there's moments in time where the federal government pushes things quickly, and then there's these long lags of time where it's up to the states and the cities to kind of move the ball how they see fit.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about is slightly different things, though. So what you're referring to are discrimination laws, mm-hmm. anti-discrimination laws mostly, right? You're not talking about wage and hour stuff, which I think is a much more local issue mm-hmm. driven by a lot of, you know, local legislators. I think when you're talking about fairness, right, equality, stuff like that, that's the stuff that we're looking to be equal, you know, across the country. So, you know, labor unions historically, John, have sort of, you know, ebbed and flowed in terms of their popularity and when they're important and when they're not important. They tend to be very important in times like the 60s, you know, in eliciting and bringing about a whole bunch of big, you know, anti-discrimination laws, et cetera, et cetera. So the federal government, I think, tends to get involved in those big picture items that are really fundamentally fairness issues in the workplace. That's what they do. They don't get bogged down in setting high standards for things like wage and hours so much.
Yeah, I just find the whole thing interesting. Like, I mean, until just a couple years ago, there were still states you could be fired at for being gay.
Yeah.
Some states had obviously upped their protections of this, but it took until a 2020 Supreme Court decision where Gorsuch, Roberts, Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan were in the majority, Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh in the minority, extending those federal protections that were going to federal employees, essentially to almost all employees in the United States. So it is this tug and pull between the different branches of the government moving things along or not.
I think it is. And I think clearly you'll see, I don't think you'll see that change in terms of, for example, you know, sexual orientation protections. I don't think that's going to go backwards. But, you know, we have a long history in Congress of, you know, passing laws that protect people against discrimination. And I think that's what they're focused on.
Yeah. And some states just kind of fill in the gaps from there. 312-981-7200 to join the conversation. After a break, I want to talk about this story about managers not promoting employees who take breaks from work, even just like work-life boundaries. For the last couple of years, the story has been work-life balance, Patrick. Mm-hmm. We're all looking and seeking for a work-life balance. I'm all for that. And also, the story for the last few years is employees have had a lot of the power.
Mm-hmm.
That is shifting a little bit,
I think so,
back
too.
To employers. And I wonder if this work-life balance harmony that a lot of places have reached is about to be disrupted to go back to a hustle culture. Gather your thoughts on that, Patrick.
I will. I'll gather them.
More than a few.
Okay, I've got several. Several are gathering right now.
Let's add a couple more there.
Okay. Sure.
A gaggle of thoughts, if you don't mind.
Whole brainful of thoughts.
All right, we'll do that after this on WGN. John Hanson here. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association till 8. That'll be the Mincy and Rascals podcast. It was a good crew, I'm sure, this week. And then Steve and Johnny coming up at 9 o'clock, which I look forward to every Saturday night. Patrick Dolan is our employment lawyer here, and it's been a whole Labor Day show dedicated to you and your work, Patrick, and our listeners, too.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've been here a really long time because now it's dark, and when I got here, it was light out.
That's how time works, buddy.
Thanks, John.
Managers don't promote employees who take a break from work. This is an article that Iridian printed out for me from Inc.com. Enforcing work-life boundaries is good for employee morale and productivity. Managers say that's what they want, but often they don't act accordingly. Workers who take small steps to enforce that work-life balance, maybe they set that out-of-office message on the weekend, or they don't answer that email on the vacation that they're on. Those little things are often considered less committed, those people, and less promotable, even when they're encouraged to take those actions. Believe it or not, Patrick.
I totally believe it.
So employers say, we want work-life balance. Bosses, respect work-life balance for your employees. and preach that to your employees, or at least accept it and tell them it's okay. Mm. But their actions of who they promote, who they end up giving raises to, who they give more responsibility to, ends up not being people that do those things.
It's tough to do this in a broad brush, John.
Let's do it anyways.
Okay, sure, I will. And plus, you know, anecdotally, all I see are the people that, you know, get retaliated against for taking that time off. Or if they're, you know, if they're not willing to work on a vacation and somebody else is, then, you know, they're retaliated against, you know, in terms of promotion.
But is that retaliation? It may not.
No, I don't mean illegal. I just mean it's. Listen, there's a lot of retaliation in the workplace that's not illegal. Just that's just what it is.
But I don't think it's. I mean, retaliation seems. I think maybe. I get what you're saying. I think it's less intentional than that. I think it's as you're looking to let me finish.
Okay.
I think it's as you're looking to promote someone or move someone up and you have an array of candidates available, you as a manager might just have a stronger kinship with the employee that bends over backwards to make your job as boss easier.
You mean the ones who work on their vacation?
Or yes. And I don't think it's like I'm only going to hire someone, and of course we're painting with a broad brush here.
Yeah.
I'm only going to hire someone that will go above and beyond, well beyond what they should be going. But I just think that naturally happens, that people that hustle at work are often seen by bosses anyways because it makes their jobs easier. And that may not be the best thing for work-life balance, but I think this is like the marketplace of employees. Like, this is what happens. This is capitalism at its finest. It's people just perhaps unintentionally or perhaps not even subconsciously doing it because they want to hire people that are really motivated and show that extra work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. The problem is then don't be disingenuous about what the expectations are.
That's fair.
Yeah, and if you're like, sure, you can take a vacation, but then you know what? When I think about promotion, you're not going to be high on the list. You know what I mean? That's not what happens. And the result is that people get super stressed out. They end up, you know, a lot of times having to leave work and take a medical leave. I talk to people, John, I would say several times a week, if not every single day, who need to leave their job because they're so stressed out. The anxiety is horrible. They're in a clinical depression. They can't work anymore because of exactly the kind of issues you're talking about right now. So I don't know. Is that okay? Is that capitalism? Is that just how it goes? I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is there are a lot of really good, productive people who are being forced into working way too much because they're so concerned and paranoid about their job, and that, you know, they just run themselves into the ground. And maybe that's just the way it is. Yeah. Maybe that's just the way it is. But then when they take a leave, a medical leave that's protected under the FMLA, or they become disabled and that's protected under the ADA, then they're thought of, even if they do come back, they're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, that person took that mental health leave. Are they up for this? So
that's not fair.
It's not fair, but that's what happens, though. Yeah. So when you say, you know, I don't know. It's super frustrating to listen to all of the angst and then have, you know, people go, well, it's just, you know, maybe you should work harder, try harder, work on your vacation, or work on the weekends, or work into the evening, or save your job. I think that's ridiculous.
My thing is, this article talks about the people that don't answer the email on their vacation are the ones that don't get promoted. I don't think it's that X to Y. I think it's that if you are constantly the person who is pushing back on work-life balance and putting an away message up or whatever that is, an out of office for the weekend, you're like flaunting it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's like work is like a game. Sometimes you play the game a little bit. And there's, I think, great boss relationship. If you are an overachiever while you're in the office and you're doing work and you're hustling, and then you take that vacation, bosses are often like, please unplug. Like, mm-hmm. you are good to go. I've mm-hmm. already, you show up all the time. If I need you on a Saturday, I'm not getting the ping back that you're not going to work on the weekend at all to answer an email to make my job easier. So I just, and obviously we're talking about different work situations and everything. I just feel like people expect now, especially maybe younger workers, although I shouldn't paint with a broad brush, how dare you email me after hours? This is my time. It's like, if it happens once or twice, maybe the best thing is to respond and be an employee and to do something to help your boss out. Because that's going to gain you favors. Play the game.
Yeah, and also because your boss probably grew up in a different sort of work generation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the expectations are very, very different. What do you mean it's your time at 7 o'clock? No, you work, you're paid a salary. You know, this is just part of the job. You should respond to my emails at 7 o'clock. I have a client right now who, because of mental health issues, has a doctor's limitation to work from 9 to 6. And the company said... And so that's an accommodation request under the ADA because she's bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And the company said, nope, 9 to 6, we cannot allow you, we deny your accommodation request. You must be available in the evening.
Mm.
Why? I don't know, to do more work. And so the question is that reasonable under the ADA? And let's just say we don't agree about it right now.
Yeah, there's also maybe... my own naivety about different jobs and the overworking that is happening and the overstressing that is happening for certain employees.
John,
so that picture you paint seems ridiculous. That seems like an easy thing to accommodate, 9 to 6 p.m. But if you're talking about this is a company that expects you to be always on in the evenings and reachable, bar none, no excuses, that's a little over the line. And in that case, I would side with you. I want to get to one caller, if you don't mind, Patrick, before we end the show. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm better without talking to you. You're excited. Happy Saturday. What do you got first, Dan?
Question. I just turned 70.
Woo.
Figured I'm going to work a few more years before I retire. The company I work for... Well, at 70, will not let me drive a company vehicle or will not let me drive my vehicle for the company.
At 70? What year was this law rule written? That's crazy.
Well, my boss just found out about it when I turned 70, which was just last month.
So you're wondering if that's allowed. Is that allowed for a company to do that?
Well, if it's completely, you know, if it's completely unrelated, in other words, if he can do his job, if he continue to drive, and it could be age discrimination for, you know, absolutely.
Actually, let me ask, Dan, do you need to drive this company vehicle for work, or?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I do office work, but I do go out to the field occasionally.
And they won't let you drive the company vehicle.
Huh.
Patrick, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's really problematic because, you know, obviously, if he can do the job, something arbitrary like turning 70, it's like he's a pilot. Like, I get that. But if he needs his, you know, to drive his car to do part of his job, that seems absolutely arbitrary and probably age discrimination.
Can Dan, are they telling you to drive your own car now then?
I can't even.
No,
I cannot even drive my own car for a company business.
Yeah. What the heck is that? That makes no sense.
He doesn't want him. They don't want him driving at all
because
he turned 70. Yeah, yeah.
Dan, call Patrick.
Yeah,
okay,
I'd be happy to talk to him.
Okay, I will on Monday.
All right. It's Labor Day Monday. Wait till Tuesday. 312-332-7800. That's wild.
It is.
I don't hear
that very often.
Pilots are driving truck.
No, so do I. Right. And all those have mandatory retirement ages, which make total sense. This does not.
Yeah, that seems like someone looked at an actuarial table and went crazy.
I don't know.
312-332-7800 is how they reach you, right?
Yes.
312-981-7200 is how you'll reach us next week, because we are all donezo today. Patrick, thank you for filling this 2 hours with me. It was a great show.
Yeah, thanks. Happy Labor Day weekend to everybody. It's a beautiful weekend. Enjoy.
Enjoy. And that'll do it for Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, next week on at 1. Your Money Matters returns Tuesday at 6 p.m. Have a great rest of your weekend, folks.